Hi, Adam.
Yes, Eddie.
Yeah, you know, I was putting on my jacket, eh?
Yeah, Eddie, you don't look smart enough. Yeah, that's better.
I was struggling with sharing my dog
Okay, I can share, Eddie.
for my minutes, eh?
Okay, I'll find the minutes, yeah.
Okay.
Morning, Mr. Matonsa.
Morning, Mr. Chavan.
How are you?
I'm okay, and you?
Yeah, I'm told you have to be to go and procure a jacket.
Yeah, no, when I was talking to Abba, I just had my T-shirt only. Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Mr. Matan.
Me check out email yang wen.
Oh.
Okay.
Eddie,
Yep.
I'm just gonna try share my entire screen rather than sharing document by document, because I'm gonna be changing between document to document to document. So I just want you to see what I'm doing and then see if it works. So what I'm gonna do is just share my screen, and then you'll see when I jump between documents. So now you should be able to see my folder, so where the minutes are. Yeah.
I'm able to see them, yeah.
Okay. So then when I open them, you should also be able to see them when I open them. I just wanted to test it once before now, before the meeting starts. Okay. So
Yeah,
you can
that's
see.
the minute of second March, yeah.
Okay, and then when I go to the, this is the strategic plan of the committee, you can see it?
Yeah, I can see it, yeah.
Okay, sure. I'll stop sharing. I'll stop sharing. Oh, well, let me just put the agenda up for now.
Okay.
Okay, I'll stop sharing for now so we can see the chairperson when he opens the meeting.
Okay. And Adam?
Yeah.
Adam, after the meeting, don't leave the, after we finish the meeting, don't leave the room, eh?
Okay.
All right.
Mr. Martin, I'm not getting your email as you.
On your Gmail address. Your parliament email, I think, is full. You need to delete some of the emails, as email is on your Gmail address.
I must delete all the emails you've sent me.
No, not the emails. Your parliament email is full. So anything that will send the advance back.
Oh.
So I don't know which emails you must delete, but I'm sure there's a lot of emails that maybe you might not need.
Thank you.
Matros.
Hey, Mose.
How are you, Opus?
I'm okay, you?
I'm trying under the circumstances.
Okay.
I'm trying. Yeah, you and I, you've got a case to answer.
Oh, okay, we'll talk after I've spoken
we'll
to other
after,
and
yes.
The
second
one.
I know there are many ears here, but... Yeah, we will talk.
Okay.
Okay, for the show.
Good morning.
We can hear you, Eddie. Good morning.
Morning. It's 9 o'clock now, but we don't have a quorum to start with the meeting. We left with only one member to join. If we have got one member to join, then we do have a quorum to start electing the acting chairperson. So if we can give members to join, maybe about 5 minutes again.
Eddie, it looks like we have a quorum.
Adam? Oh, okay, yeah. Well, we do have a quorum now. Good morning, members, again. Now we do have a quorum. The chairperson is still on sick leave, as indicated in the previous meeting. Therefore, we are going to elect the acting chairperson in terms of Rule 159 of the National Assembly. I'm going to call for nomination, and then members will nominate one of their members as an acting chairperson. If the nominees are two, it means we are going to vote by a show of hands, and if the nomination is one, then the person will be declared a chairperson, the acting chairperson. Can I call for nomination, please?
Eddie?
Yes, Ma'am Mundisa?
Thank you so much, and good morning to everyone. I am nominating Honorable Musa Chabane to be our acting chair. Thank you.
Mr. Chabane has been nominated any seconder.
Eddie, I will second the nomination. It's Honorable Van der Merwe.
Ms. Van der Merwe has just seconded the nomination. Any other nomination? No other nomination. Therefore, Mr. Chapman, you have been elected acting chairperson. Can you please take over?
Morning. Thanks, colleagues, members, and our staff, and all in attendance to this portfolio committee. We are going to focus on the areas that have been highlighted on the agenda. As has been indicated that The apology has been granted of the chair, and I'm being requested that we must focus specific on the items that have been raised, because some of the members are going to have a trip to
recording in progress
to that side of the Western Cape and other commitments. So it would be important that all of us we ground our this process as a collective. Mr. Matonsi, thanks very much. Is there any apology that you want to render?
Yes, Chairperson, I do have apology. Firstly, is that of the Chairperson Advocate Bongo, Mr. Nswabu, Ms. Tito, and Ms. Kanyele. That's all, Chair.
Okay, thanks very much for those apologies. Any other apology, members? Thank you. So it's clear that in attendance is members and the PLOs of the department or as invited by Mr. Matonsi. Mr. Matonsi, can you flag the highlight the agenda and then we get into the items that are going to be dealt with. We have the annual strategic plan with the oversight report of government printing works and our oversight report in Gauteng and the KZN with minutes and closure. So these are going to be our line item. I would invite either Mr. Matonsi or Adams to deal with item 4. I would request them to be brief because the documents have been circulated and members have went through them. Mr. Adam?
Good morning, Chairperson and committee members. Yes, I'll be taking us through the various documents, starting with the annual performance plan of the committee, which, as you indicated, was shared with the committee. This is a statutory requirement for the committee that we have a strategic or three to 5 year plan as well as the annual plans. These regular plans that happen usually at the beginning of the year were disrupted both last year and this year. So this is partially in retrospect. It's supposed to have been briefed just after the annual plans of the committee. But as you know, we've been quite busy actually and also been functioning online. So we'll just indicate the plan of the committee, which we have actually been following, even though we haven't had the plan with us. There are regular items on our annual agenda, which you will be aware of, that we do keep to. These plans are just to ensure that the plan of our committee ties up with the plans of Parliament as whole, as well as government priorities, both for the year and for the five-year medium-term strategic framework, which the government, the governing party has tabled. So we start firstly with the strategic overview of Parliament. These are things of Parliament that the members will be aware of. I'm not going to go into too much detail, but essentially the vision of Parliament is to be an active and responsive people's Parliament that improves the quality of life for South Africans and ensures enduring equality for our society. The priorities for the sixth Parliament are the Impact 2030, which is from the National Development Plan, ensuring increasing employment, eradicating poverty and reducing inequality. The two particular outcomes that are relevant to all committees are a more responsive and accountable government and a Parliament to strengthen oversight and involvement. And then we'll go into more details of how these play out when we go into the plan of the committee right at the end. Just to indicate that the strategic plan of Parliament indicates these overarching priorities. Okay, sorry, I'll carry on then, Chairperson.
Yes, carry on. I think just,
So the two main outcomes there, just as I indicated before, is increasing responsiveness, accountability, and improved oversight of legislation. And this ties across the constituency work, the committee work, as well as plenary work of the members of parliament. And there's various activities that feed into that, such as more effective recommendations, deeper scrutiny, and the inputs in turn are like a better oversight plan, enhanced member capacity, dealing with public submissions. The plan then kind of gives an overview of the overall plans of government, which included, as I include, say, includes the National Development Plan, National and the medium-term strategic framework for 2019 to 2024. This is the sixth parliament, or the current five-year plan. I've made then reference to this document here. Then refers to the budget and annual plan report of the committee, which goes into the more exact details of the priorities of our particular portfolio, including Home Affairs, GBW, and the Electoral Commission. This document just gives a more of a highlight of those priorities. And I then kind of give a summary of that document, indicating the NDP priorities of the DHA, as well as their annual performance plans, again, summarized here by program. So the administration program has information services, institutional planning, human and HR, the DD's office, and counter-corruption. That's the main sub-programs with their priorities listed there. Again, we dealt with this in detail with the committee. It's just here for highlight purposes so that we ensure that our oversight covers their main areas of responsibility. We then give a highlight of the main priorities for the civic services, which are these five ones: birth registration, ID cards, adult passports, and marriage policy. Then this is a highlight of the immigration targets. We then go into the Electoral Commission's priorities, which we have already started dealing with very recently with the Moseneka inquiry report that had emerged. The two things to then point out specifically from the IEC's presentation on that matter is that the two possible scenarios the indication there is that the possible postponement of the elections until February 2022, and the Concord hearing on the application for that postponement is to be heard on the 20th of August, according to the correspondence received from the minister. The committee in turn will then be dealing with the Ministerial Advisory Committee on the Electoral Systems for the amendment to the legislation to national electoral laws on the 24th of August. And the two deadlines then relating to that are that Parliament, if the electoral system includes constituencies, Parliament will need to decide on a new system by 30th of October 2021 and amend the related legislation in the remaining 15-month period. And if it excludes constituencies, then we'll have until 30 June next year to amend the legislation. So there's two possible timelines for the electoral legislation that will need to be amended, depending on what this committee and parliament decides is needed once the Ministerial Advisory Committee on Electoral Systems presents to us in the coming weeks. This then highlights the priorities for the IEC and then also the government printing works. Key impact there really is that there is legislation due to be tabled by the IEC, which relates to the state printers bill, or giving it a specific legislative mandate, as well as requiring certain printing to be done by the GBW. This has been in process for a number of years, but according to its plans, a draft version of this bill should be tabled with the committee before the end of the financial year. So other than that, they have 18 targets across five programs. Then specifically the mandate of our committee obviously derives from the Constitution, the Financial Management of Parliament Act, Money Bills Amendment Procedure, and National Assembly Rules. Then it's just a list of our stakeholders and customers, which obviously is the citizens of South Africa, as well as migrants. And our stakeholders, which we engage with on a regular basis, including the government and department and entities, the Auditor General, as well as the NGOs and academic institutions and organizations representing the public. Our key business objectives are documented through the reports and minutes of the committee, which we'll be dealing with in part today. We also have to have regular activities, including the annual budget reports, quarterly reports for the DHA, quarterly reports for the IEC and GBW, annual reports for all three entities, our budget review in October each year, just indicating there when these happen on a regular basis, and as well as the review of our strategic and annual performance plan, which should happen annually, as well as yearly for the strategic plan. I then included the outstanding issues relating to the budget review and recommendation report, which the department reported back to us in July of this year, which have largely been achieved in terms of our recommendations. This list here is of the issues that are still outstanding, which I've included there for members' reference. I'm not going to go into it because there is a fair amount of it, but just to say that this is a summary of the outstanding issues, which I've then highlighted in bold. So for instance, the outstanding matter of contingent liabilities, which have been reported in the annual report of the DHA for a number of years, relates to many outstanding pending legal cases. So they've reported on the cases which are being addressed, but they haven't indicated what is to be done with those cases that that the DHA has lost, or in which they have been found liable or still have outstanding rulings on. So those then the highlights of the outstanding issues for the DHA, and then we move on to the outstanding issues for the GPW, one of which, for instance, is that we are still awaiting the outcome of an investigation by the Hawks into a case opened on the missing CVs, which again we covered in the report that we will adopt today. And then for the Electoral Commission, there was only one outstanding issue, which was relating to the electoral system. So this we're actually getting briefed on next week. So that will be addressed soon. And then the last two pages are just an indication of the quarterly targets related to the main priorities of the committee. That's two main outcomes, as I indicated in the beginning, relating to Parliament's priorities, which is increasing government's responsiveness and accountability, and secondly, improved oversight and legislation. We then break those down into various committee outputs, which are listed in this column on the left-hand side, and then more specific activities and inputs required for those, as well as quarterly targets. So, for instance, the main priority, obviously, is then to oversee the department and its entities, which we do through our quarterly program, which covers the priorities I've listed before, as well as receiving strategic plans and annual reports. We also endeavor to cover at least nine provinces within a five-year cycle. We've already covered three provinces in this year, having been to Limpopo, Gauteng, and KZN. In general, we tend to see, yeah, at least two provinces per annum. The one province we didn't oversee in the last five-year cycle was the Western Cape. So perhaps something that we could consider in going forward. Then just adopting committee reports once those oversights happen and ensuring that the recommendations made by the committee in our various reports, including the budget review report, are in fact followed up on. We then have committee minutes, coordination of government programs across different departments. So ensuring that there is collaboration with other committees, as we will have already done with other committees in the security cluster and in the select committee when we had the electoral systems workshop earlier in the year. So just making sure that we have collaboration there. There's also effective participation in international relations and cooperation. So whenever there are international treaties that are relevant to us adopted, we make sure the committee is aware of these. And we also one international study tour per five-year cycle, which again is also subject to budget. And well, this committee last happened in 2012, so a long time since an international study tours has actually happened. So full motivation there is that the committee has not been prioritized for international trips, but also bearing in mind that there are fiscal limitations for such international trips. Then improved oversight and legislation. Basically just the procedures that we are going through legislation, and as indicated, there is the state principle, which is tentatively coming to the committee before the end of the financial year, as well as the draft DHA bill, which is still pending cabinet approval, but should be, according to the DHA's plan, tabled with the committee before the end of the financial year, at least in draft form. And then this is related to all the petitions and processes that the committee needs to follow when dealing with legislation as well as petitions coming to the committee, of which I understand there is also a petitions committee which deals with the petitions, including ones related to the Home Affairs portfolio, which we will also report on, although even though IPT doesn't directly deal with them, if they're relevant to our mandate, we will provide updates on those to the committee. So that's just a brief overrun of our, again, which as I said is a strategic plan, I mean, which is a statutory requirement for the committee. I will then open up to questions. Sorry if I've been a bit fast, but as indicated, the chairperson wanted us to give a brief or bird's eye view. So I hand over to you again, chairperson.
Thank you so much. Presented for our attention. I know that we perused the document, and there may be issues that we need to highlight progress and also lack of progress in terms of the department annual plans, and that also emerges from the APP. I'm going to invite the members to comment on the report. I will start with the Honorable Rose, Honorable Molekwa, Honorable Lizelle, Co-Chair, Honorable Mudisi Mdia, and Honorable Lekwa. No, sir, Honorable Pile. I must note that Honorable Lukwase is not well. She indicated yesterday, but today she's in attendance. She may not able to participate, but we appreciate that she joined the meeting so that she get to interact and understand this process of inputs of all our members. Honorable Ross?
Thank you, Chair. Chairperson, firstly, thank you very much for the compilation of this document. I think there's one concern that I have is in terms of what is being said about the network downtimes, Chairperson. And basically what our report is saying, or what this is saying, is that CETA has acknowledged the shortcomings of their network and indicated that they need to appoint a service provider to refresh the infrastructure, et cetera. It gives the impression that it's CETA's network and it's actually the network seems to be behind it because, as was presented to us, particularly the views, CETA engaged with Dimension Data and the Department of Home Affairs. They did a report with 34 items. Two of them were for CETA, 32 were for the Department of Home Affairs. And part of those 32 items that Home Affairs had to deal with was their own infrastructure. So their infrastructure, their network connectivity infrastructure, is not owned by CETA, it's not managed by them. And so all that I'm saying, Chair, is that this, the wording of this, it makes it sound like this is CETA's network and CETA's problem, but it's the Department of Home Affairs' network. That is the issue over here. Secondly, Chair, just in terms of the study tour, and I'd really like to recommend that the committee considers doing a study tour of a place that has electronic voting systems. Chairperson, because I think we've discussed it before, it's something that's perhaps in the longer term for South Africa, but I think it would be very valuable for this committee, probably later on in the term, to do some sort of a study tour of a place where they've successfully implemented e-voting, and we can go and see how it works in practicality. And then finally, Chairperson, I think as much as I've commented on what's in the document, there's a number of things that are missing, and perhaps I'm misunderstanding the purpose of the report as our plan. But we spoke about, for example, going to Fireblaze. This committee spoke about the VFS contract, and that contract was renewed, but the PPP, we still need to oversee that process. Overspent, and that hasn't really been resolved. There was the GPW data leak, ABUS, the Royal Bafokeng Platinum Mines, the permits issue, the Bushiri issue, the GPW qualified audits. And so my question is, where are all these things on this report, all these things that the committee has dealt with and said that we need to address urgently? And if they should be in the report, Chair, that they need to be added. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Ross, for your contribution. Honorable Moleko.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me start by appreciating the presentation made by the department on the performance report by the department, Chairperson. We really appreciate the performance in some of the programs by the department. Chairperson, I just want to check with the department on the performance indicators because I see most of the targets were not achieved. I just want to check the reason why the department did not achieve those targets as indicated in the performance indicators. The second question I just want to check with the department is on the outstanding issues. I just want to check with the department on how soon can the department be able to complete and so that the portfolio committee can be able to receive the report on the progress.
Thank you very much for your contributions. Honorable Lizette, co-chair.
I Chairperson, she has been disconnected. She'll be joining later. Network problem.
Okay. Honorable Medicine, sir.
Thank you so much, Chairperson. I don't think the report really reflects a lot of performances that the department would have. There's a lot of progress that is, and I would, through you, Chair, I would request that if the department should send us at least a complete report that would reflect all the work that has been done. One of the other issues that I would want to highlight is the issue of mobile officers, Chairperson. I think they've been very effective and very progressive. And we need to really emphasize on the department to at least procure more of these mobile offices, because they seem to be of assistance to our people in providing services to them, particularly in areas where offices are far to be reached, in your rural areas or in areas where there's only one pool are located. So we've really seen the work that the few mobile offices that we have throughout the country, they have really assisted so much. So I want to put in it and procure more of these mobile offices, because they seem to be very efficient in providing services to our people. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mutise, for your contribution. Is Honorable Coach back, Mr. Matthews?
Let me check. She's not yet back, but let me just quickly check.
Thank you very much. I think, firstly, you know, it was outlined that the report was a strategic framework or plan based on a 3 to 5 year. And so you would find that perhaps there is no report on progress. So my recommendation is that we should have a report that outlines progress, whether it's part of this report. Or I think it's important because it then reflects the work that is being done. I also want to support Honorable Modise in that we have seen over the last few months the incredible work that's being done through the mobile units. And the fact that it is reaching more communities. Also, I think it's important to note that the mobile units actually issue smart cards. And it means that people are not going to be queuing up in some cases where there's no smart card accessibility at offices where they're still getting green barcoded IDs. So it means that we are addressing two very important issues. And I think it's, you know, providing a service and also being able to provide smart cards into areas that, you know, that are fully fledged in the sense of providing those smart cards. So I want to support that. And I think if we get a progress report, that will help, you know, the work of the department. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Pillay and members, for the your contributions on the report. I think you are giving guidance on how we must empower the report. And I think we appreciate the framework, how it was crafted by the team research, and the issues that we may need to include in terms of the progress informed by the decisions that were taken by the committee. And I think that is important work. The issue of the mobile trucks that you are raising, members, quite important. We've seen it, or we've observed in terms of its impact to our communities. Communities, they don't need to travel to the offices, but services is coming to them. We need to elevate that. I know Honorable Ross is in preparation to also with the department to secure this mobile truck to go to his constituents. The issue which is being raised also on the study tour, it's important that this matter has been raised, and I think the committee has to affirm that the process. We have debated it in the Portfolio Committee. In fact, the IEC has wanted to introduce a section that deals with the electronic voting.
Recording in progress.
The court must talk to the decision we've taken, the issues that department has presented to us, and the implementation of work in terms of the strategic work. What we'll do before Adams come in and the Mr. Matonzi is that we'll also subject this process of the document to some of the issues that were not clearly covered to MENCO, Management Committee, so that we stretch out the issues that they were outstanding. I'm getting a sense that all of us we have accepting the report with the issues that are being raised and elevate some of the critical areas that the report must talk to, and will then subject this, finalize this matter in the MENCO on the issues that are being raised and trace back what are some of the issues that we could not find its expression in the document and send to members. Mr. Adams, is any other matter so that we pass this item?
No, Chairperson, I've just taken note of what the members have indicated. And just briefly to respond to some of the questions raised, the issues raised by Honourable Ruth, yes, we can certainly include them. We just we gave an overview of some of the main issues, but particular issues we can also highlight in the outstanding issues or in the report, which will certainly make it more useful. Obviously, we tend to focus on the unachieved targets just because there's so much to oversee with the department and its entities. We tend to focus on the shortfalls rather than the achievements. But when we do our annual report of the committee in May each year, we then highlight also some of the achievements of the department. And then in terms of recommendations, such as for the mobile offices and other shortcomings, we also make those clear in our BRRR each year in October, which is actually one of the more binding of our documents, which the department is required to report on. And National Treasury also, in terms of what finances are available. We will conduct a research on the study tour for e-voting. I think this is a good idea. It's also long outstanding. And ensure that some of these outstanding issues are also included in our quarterly program. But yes, as you indicated, Chairperson, we'll take these all into consideration, revise the document and present it to the MENCO before we adopt it.
Thank you for those contributions. I think I'm affirmed that members are agreeing with the process. Mr. Matonzi, you will advise when it's going to be MENCO so that we deal with these outstanding issues that are raised. The other matter, you must communicate with department on the issues that have not been reported back so that progress on some of the issues that we need to members have raised here. Can we then move to second item, government printing works and the government printing works?
Yes. Can I please confirm that the document is being displayed? It's the draft oversight report of the Portfolio Committee on Home Affairs visit to the Government Printing Works.
Yes, it's displayed, yes. Thanks.
Thank you. Again, Chairperson, in the interest of time, we've compiled the report as it commenced, and we'll just go then to the recommendations at the end, unless there are specific issues with the content. It's the recommendations essentially that's the takeaway from the report, so I'll just focus on those. So what we have there is that the Portfolio Committee has urged the GPW executive and labor to earnestly work towards improving their working relationship to ensure conducive work environment. Secondly, the management and organized labor should dedicate more energy towards resolving some of the internal challenges that exist. As for operations at the GPW, the committee was impressed with its seamless process and high level of security. The committee urged the GPW to amplify their engagement with the DPW and to expedite the overhaul of the entire system to meet operational requirements. Committee also highlighted the need for employees to have protective equipment, especially those working in extremely controlled cold environments, to safeguard their health. Regarding human resources, in the IT environment, the committee urged GPW to develop a strategy to augment skills and capacity to ensure sustainability in the long run. The committee also recommended a comprehensive investigation into loss of data and system crash which hampered production to prevent a similar event in the future, and the committee is steadfast in its conviction that effective consequence management must be implemented against anyone who commits acts of malfeasance. So this is what we have thus far. I then open it to contributions from the committee.
No, thanks
to you, Chair.
Mr. Adams, and what was supposed to have happened? In fact, I requested Mr. Matons, I'm not sure whether he has managed to do that. This oversight was called on an urgent basis, if I recall it well, members will correct me, because there were urgent issues that we have to interact with there. And we have stayed a period without getting a progress report. And we have interacted with the Home Affairs. Now, what we'll do, we think it must happen, members will get in contributions, that we must get the progress report. And I think Mr. Matonsi has highlighted that will send me the progress report on the issues that were dealt with and that were there, for, so that when you report and consolidate the support, including the recommendation, you may find that there's a progress and since we're there, and now we're bringing you're right, this is our recommendation, but we must get progress so that we'll adopt the report, including members understanding the progress that has been made, so that when we take it to Parliament, we deal with the weaknesses that we're there for in terms of the oversight, deal with the issues that is, taken implementation of work. We must be able to identify weakness, take decisions, trace progress, and report. I think that is the approach that I wanted to propose, that we need to interface. Members, can I invite you to contribution in that order? Honorable Ross, Honorable Mulekwa, Honorable Lizelle, Honorable Modifemsa, and Honorable Pele.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just a few points. First of all, I think there was one major observation that's not included in this report, and that was the observation about senior management that received legal counsel. So when there's issues of a staff member bringing up something against a senior manager, then the senior manager gets legal counsel and the staff member doesn't. And the other element around legal services was also that that there was an allegation that external legal services are being utilized there, where there are internal legal resources that have the same skills. And so, Chairperson, I think we need a recommendation that the department needs to tell us what is going on in terms of, government printing works needs to tell us what is going on with these external service providers. Are they doing the same kind of work as the internal persons? What is the cost of that? And then is there a way that the internal legal persons could be trained or capacitated to be able to perform those tasks? Then on item 6.3, it talks about it's just a typo over there, I think it is, where it says allegations of assault of the an employee. And I think it should just be of assault of the employee. So that's just a typo. Then in terms of point 7.3, where it says, as for operations, the committee was impressed with the seamless process and high level of security. So first of all, this should be an observation, not a recommendation. But also, I don't know how we could say this, Jeff, because when we were there, everything was down. Most of the staff were on strike. They were outside. So most of the areas where we walked around were not functioning at all. So I don't know how we could say here that we were pleased with the seamless processes and how everything is going when we were unable to observe that. Then 7.7, where it talks about the systems crash, it says that it hampered production. But what actually happened was there was a loss of financial and audit data. And there's an allegation that there was a hack in the system. So I think it just needs to be clearer in this point 7.7 that this is not an issue of some production machine and there was an error and it maybe caused a slight delay. This was actually an attack on the financial and the audit system, you know, of the department. It resulted in them being unable to submit their reporting time and to be unable to deliver their financials for the second year in a row. I think that needs to come out clearer here. It's not a production issue. It's an audit record to be lost, and there was a serious consequence. That's it from me, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Ross, for the contributions. Honorable Mulekwa.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me also start by appreciating the report and oversight visit by the committee to government printing works. We really appreciate the report as presented. But Chairperson, I just want to agree with you that in future, we must be provided with the progress report since the oversight visit has taken off. So all in all, Chairperson, I just want to welcome the report as presented, but the department must make sure that when the committee receives the report, we must be provided with the progress report as indicated by you, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mulekwa, for your contributions. Co-chair.
Thank you very much, our acting chairperson. Chairperson, I went through the report. There are a couple of editing issues. Just for example, 2.2, where it says allowances and disguise, which should be disguised as leave payment. And then on 2.7, and there's a couple of other issues where the sentences are not as clear, I think, as they what we intended them to be. But I will send that through to Adam, if you don't mind. There's a couple of editing issues which I've identified. But then on the point where we speak about the staff having complained about the air conditioning, I'm not quite sure. It's in 3.2. It said... 3.3. It said at the packaging center, the committee interfaced with, it should be with a few of the staff members. It says currently something else, but it says with a few of the staff members who were working and they complained about the air conditioning. I'm not quite sure if they complained about the air conditioning. I just think that they mentioned that it gets quite cold. I mean, we actually asked them about that, so I don't really want it to look like they were complaining, but maybe we should just restructure that sentence. But lastly, I would agree with you, Chairperson, that you know, the updated report or the feedback about what has since transpired since we left should be very important, because I think at the end of the day, as much as our recommendations are good, I felt as we left there with the sense that currently the situation is so bad between the management and staff that I'm not quite sure how it will be remedied, because at the end of the day, the allegation was that even, you know, the staff, if they go to the HR management department, the HR management department or the HR person is generally in favor of whatever management says. So it means that unless there has been progress, my recommendation would have been that we should have brought in an external HR company to assist or do an audit, which I know maybe other members of the committee might not agree with. But if you've got a situation where clearly there's no you know, avenue or recourse for staff members to be able to address their issues and nothing is actually improved since, then surely an external audit or external company should be brought in, as was the case with the SABC when they had similar struggles. So that would have been my recommendation, but I thought that since you have asked that we should receive a progress report, that we should wait for that and then maybe update some of our recommendations. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Co-Chair. Thank you very much for your contribution. Can I invite Honorable Mudise Mta?
Thank you so much, Chair. I think the members have sufficiently raised issues. Only one on recommendations that I don't see reflected here. It's the issue of the supply of PPEs and protective gears to the workforce. Would have made an emphasis and strongly so that the conditions inside the workshop is not really conducive for members who are working there for longer hours. Therefore, they need to be provided with uniforms that would at least be protective or adapt to the conditions inside the workshop. So I think on recommendations, I see it's not reflected, so it needs to be added. I also want to agree with the fact that we should then await the progress report so that we are able to gauge if there's any progress that has been done to what would have recommended that the department should do. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mudise Mta. Honorable Pile.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Firstly, I want to agree with the and support what you have raised in terms of the progress report, because I think that will help in terms of our recommendations. Secondly, I think it's important to rephrase what Honorable Lizal has mentioned, because the staff had not complained about the air cons in the sense of it being too cold because they wanted it off, but actually because they would, well, actually it was related to PPE and uniforms. I think it was important to note that the air cons had to be on due to the type of work that is being conducted on the plant. It's absolutely necessary to have it. So it's just about having them insulated as they work in that environment. So I think we must be able to rephrase that correctly. Secondly, I think one of the things we had seen and raised was how one brings stability to an institution like Government Printing Works. And we've seen that stability now with the appointment of the CEO. So it's no longer an acting position. I think that helps the process going forward. And I'm not sure at this juncture whether that would be included in that progress report. But for me, that would be what it was. And also the update in terms of PPE would help in terms of the recommendations. But overall, I think it has reflected what we have found through the oversight visit. Thank you.
Thank you very much, members, for your contributions. I think we're agreeing that this report should be updated, Mr. Matonsi and Adam, with the progress and implementation on the decisions that were taken, including any other matter that came before to the committee, so that we have a full comprehension on the issues that were dealt with by the committee. So it will be important that we get a progress report, and in that in the main committee, we thresh out and also send this report to our members. And I think that we had fully got the reports from the labor and management. And if you can recall it well, management went into detail in terms of responding to some of the passage of allegations that were raised. What comes to mind, you will recall how they have dealt and clarified this issue of bonuses and this and that, and amongst some of the issues, but also labor raising issues of not having a relationship with the management. So we need to get this report, whether they've met with labor, what are the issues, and so on, so that we come closer to this issue. So I think that should be our process, Mr. Matonzi and Mr. Adams. Comments, Mr. Adams?
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, I've noted the additional issues raised by the members. Just in terms of progress, I must indicate that we did share communication from the minister to the committee on a ministerial review committee on precisely all these issues. That were, the communication was shared with us on the 7th of July, if I'm not mistaken, yes. And that I can display that letter, but essentially the minister has in fact already established a review process. Let me just display it. A review process which includes various...
Adam?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I think get the approach of members.
Okay.
In terms of the how we must empower this report.
Sure.
We'll deal with this matter in the MENCOM to have a final report, including the letter of the minister that is written to us, and then we circulate to all the members. So I thought that.
Okay, sure.
Would be our approach. Okay.
Okay, thank you, sir. Yeah, I just wanted to indicate that there has been some progress since we had the oversight, and that the minister is in fact awaiting this report, which we needed to adopt before it goes to him for the further consideration, which will also then perhaps be considered by that ministerial task team that's been established. So yes, we'll update it with the recommendations and the edits from the members as we receive them. And if we can just adopt the report as amended, then we can ensure that it's forwarded to the department for their consideration in their own review process, and ensure that there is a feedback to the committee.
Okay. Thank you. We'll now move to... The report, I get the sense that members adopting it with the amendment that are going to be captured as submitted. Can I ascertain that, Honorable Ross?
Yes, Chairperson, as amended.
Okay. Any seconder?
I will second, Chairperson.
Thank you, Coach. Can now move to the item on the government, no, sorry, on the KZN oversight. I think you can directly go to the issues which were observed, the intro, the body of the recommendation, members were there. The central issue that I think one has already identified is the issue of the security cameras, which we must take interest on as a committee. And I think we must get a plan from the department on how they are going to report. What is the plan to respond to this office that doesn't have security cameras, but they are busy? I mean, Eshowe, they are busy. It's busy, and we went there in Soweto, is busy, and in Barra is busy, but there are no cameras, and part of the security measures is that we it was reported to the offices. Secondly, it's on the issue that some of our offices are stationed in malls, and we must have a way to interface with that process. These agreements, Home Affairs and the malls, and so forth and so on. The money the safety of the our money, the where the people are paying. Impendle, we've seen that there's no secure, anyone can just get in and take cash and go. So we need to tighten, the department must tighten these areas that we observe. I'm trying to highlight some of the issues Adam said. You can go to recommendations and members will comment.
Thank you, Chair. And yeah, we have actually captured much of these issues in our recommendation section at the end. And as you indicated, we'll just move straight to those recommendations. So we have there that they're under 9.1, ensure that the Department of Home Affairs assesses the viability of more offices at malls across the country because of the large number of people and convenience at malls versus the security risks. Secondly, assess the cost and benefit of having security cameras, security services, and cash collection at vulnerable Department of Home Affairs offices. Thirdly, ensure that the Department of Home Affairs work with landlords to ensure that the Barrow Mall office is renovated and reopened as soon as possible. Fourthly, ensure that the Department of Home Affairs secure a big enough office space and staff contingent for the Mamelodi office. Fifth, assess the cost and benefit of a COVID-19 screen being installed in all offices of the Department of Home Affairs. And staff at, and fifthly, at sixth, the staff at Impendle Tusong office should be trained as soon as possible to operate the new safe and have burglar bars installed. So those are the main issues that emerged from the oversight. And I hand it back to you, Chair, for additions or comments.
Thank you. That's brief, Honorable Ross. In that order, Honorable Molekwa, Honorable Kotre, Honorable Mutiso, and Honorable Pile. Honorable Ross.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you to the committee support for organizing what was a very successful oversight visit. Chairperson, I'm happy with the report. I think just in terms of the security cameras, I think it's something that we all agreed was glaring, something that's really missing at those offices, not only from a point of view of what happened. There's two sides of it. The one is the security of people that come in, and the other is the security of Home Affairs staff themselves. And obviously with queues in that, there can be times where there can be aggression. And so I think that's a very important point that came out of this, is the fact that there's no security camera. So if there's a break-in, you cannot see who's stolen anything. If there's an incident that happens at the office, there's no record of it. So we have these cameras at other Home Affairs facilities, Chair. So I really believe that that this should be something where, as we say here, it needs to be assessed. My understanding was there was already some project that was being proposed, and then that comes to the committee so that we can assess it, Chair, because, the mission of Home Affairs that was presented just months ago was about having a modern and secure Home Affairs. So we really need to take the security seriously. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Ross. Honourable Molekwa.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me appreciate also the report presented for the oversight visit in KZN and Houghton, Chairperson. We welcome the report as presented. We also want to ask the department to attend to issues that have been raised in the recommendation as a matter of urgency, especially the Mamelodi office. It needs to be looked into as a matter of urgency, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Co-Chair.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you very much to the research team and to Eddie and everyone for the oversight visit, although I only joined you in Johannesburg. But just to say, to echo, of course, the sentiments that you and the other colleagues have raised, for me, the issue of the cameras, as much as it goes about, as much as it's about the safety and security of the staff and the clients and monitoring money, but it also has implications on fraud and corruption, because if we don't know what's going on inside any Home Affairs office, then surely, when we speak about the issue of duplicate IDs or fraudulent documents being being in circulation, then of course this is also an issue, because at the end of the day, somebody might be printing duplicate documents somewhere in a back office and we wouldn't know. So of course, you know, with the modernization of our offices, I think it's very, very important that the issue of these security cameras must be attended to without delay. But secondly, I think we did discuss it as colleagues as well. I think in some of these offices where there are no services being rendered currently, for me, it would have been nice if we could have seen the mobile units situated close to those offices or outside of those offices, because surely people do travel to some of these offices to obviously access the services. And you know, once they get there, you know, it would have been, I think it would have been great if Home Affairs could have made those mobile units available outside of these offices. But again, we do know the struggles with the availability of these mobile units. So I think that's all for now, but I'm in agreement with the report. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Co-Chair, for your contributions. Honourable Pillay.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. For me, you know, I think it's important to give credit where it's due, and we must commend the Home Affairs officers and officials, because even while they were faced with challenges, and in the case of point of officers where they were looted and damaged, they were able to come back so quickly and to be able to provide a service that was much needed to the community. So I think it's important to place on record, you know, the hard work that has been put in by these officers and officials and how they've managed to come back. Two is that it was a very important observation for me in that where there were offices that we are actually renting and there was a landlord, the landlord was able to actually repair these offices in a short space of time, ensuring that they were able to come back. Three is, yes, I agree, security cameras is something that we have to take very seriously. And I think that we should actually put a time frame on that so that we are able to fast track and to be able to implement that as soon as possible, for it's going to be something that is going to benefit all officers. Chairperson, it's important that, and for example, in this case, a risk that was not earlier identified, because I think it's important in risk mitigation that officers will officers will identify these risks and then be able to plan accordingly. Now that we have established looting and unrest as one of a possible risk and threat, we then need to have a risk strategy to mitigate these risks. I want to support all members that have raised and have contributed towards the mobile unit. I did say this earlier, and I want to reiterate that it's the way to go. And if we can be able to spend more money and be able to get additional funding and budgets to be able to provide more mobile units, that's going to resolve a lot of our issues, because it's providing a much needed service and it's getting to the people. And also, it's going to be, in the long run, less cost effective. Because you're going to use the mobile units and park it off in a safe premises and then be able to move out into different areas. And that, again, already mitigates the risk of those vehicles being looted or damaged. So I think it's important that we place emphasis on the mobile units. And lastly, I think how we can be able to address some of the things that we saw in terms of how computers were taken, cash in some instances. We have to improve on security where there's proper safes. And I think a typical example is when we went to Ishawe, we saw that they were not able to get into the strong room. And this again is a sign of saying that other officers need to have strong rooms where you can be able to then ensure safety at all times. And my last point is the fact that we've identified the social distancing, especially during this pandemic, is one that needs to be improved in our offices. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Pillay. Honorable Mutisemte.
Thanks so much, Chair. I think I'm comfortable with the report. Just two things. I think one of the issues we'd have highlighted with the Deputy Minister was the modernization of the some of the offices, particularly in rural areas. I think it was an office in Mpembe where they are unable to issue smart cards, and the PT minister would have promised that they would come back to us with a report or the plan, the department's plan on the modernization of the offices throughout the country. So I think that also needs to be highlighted, so that probably in the next meeting with the department, they can be able to present that plan to us. One of the issues that was of concern was the movement of cash from offices, or the collection of cash from offices. It was not clear whether there is consistency of the cash transit vehicle that comes and picks up the cash from the offices on a daily basis or not. So it also needs to be highlighted so that we can also in future track progress if there's a proper plan around that. I think the unrest or the riots would have then indicated the dangers of officers keeping cash monies in their physically with themselves or in their positions. Therefore, we need to also then get a proper plan or a progress with regard to the movement of money from officers. Thank you, Chair.
No, thanks the members for your contributions in this report. It's clear in the same approach we've taken on all the reports presented here, Mr. Adams, that we need to get progress. Once we get into the management committee, we'll then establish a time frame on some of the issues that are immediate. They need to be responded and a plan. I think the department has been telling us about modernized offices. I think they are citing office in the Eastern Cape and I think in Northwest. We may have a way to get into that space to go and a look on what is it that modernized office is, so that we compare to the ones that are lacking some of these systems. It is correct that we may need to move faster. The departments must move faster to respond to community issue services that must be grounded in the rural area. So in summary, we may need to look on the trace the service delivery work of the department. So Mr. Adams, you'll and Mr. Matonzi will look on this matter in the MENCOM, the contributions as amended, and then we then deal with the report. Can I check if Mr. Adams has any comment?
Thank you, Chair. No, I've noted all the issues raised by members, and I'll revise the report accordingly. We do, however, need to adopt the report as amended, because all these reports on the unrest are being adopted in the House this week, I believe.
Members, can we adopt the report? Can I invite for the adoption of the report as amended?
I will move to the action, Chairperson.
Thank you, Co-Chair. Seconder?
Seconded.
Thank you. So the report is, all reports are adopted as amended. Can we go to the last item? I think it's on the minutes. It's minutes. How many minutes do you have?
Chairperson, is seven minutes. No, yeah, seven sets of minutes. Yeah.
Can I check with members? On the process, if members have went through this minutes. Co-chair?
Sorry, Chairperson, I actually didn't go through them, I must be honest. So I don't know if you want to defer to the next meeting. Apologies.
Yeah, I'm trying to get, because I know there's at least the reports, those we've interface with them. And I wanted members to be comfortable on this minutes that are going to request. They also talk to the above three reports. I'm seeing some of the issues and the contributions that you highlighted. Can I check if we may, Honor Ross?
Thank you, Chair. Yes, you were just seeking some input on how we can handle this. I don't know if it's procedurally correct. I, for example, have only one input on each of two reports out of the staff. So I don't know if it's a possibility to that we give our inputs across all reports and then adopt them all in second. I don't know if that's possible.
Okay, let me get the. I'll go back to Mr. Adams and Eddie. Honorable Malekwa. I'm trying to solicit how we must run on this minute. Honorable Malekwa? Okay. Honorable Mudisemza? Okay. Honorable Pile?
No, I don't have anything, Chair.
Okay. Mr. Matons, when is the due date to adopt this minute?
There's no due date. It's only that now we have got a lot that we have not yet adopted since March. So,
okay.
And I'm not sure if next week, because we are receiving a briefing by the department on the fourth quarter, it might be a long report. If we move it to that date, we might not be able to finish again. The minutes.
Okay.
Chairperson, yeah. Adam here. If I may suggest, we can, the adoption process doesn't take too long. We can again just focus on the resolutions of each of the minutes. And if there are additions, make those additions and then just adopt as amended just so that we can keep up with our administrative responsibilities.
Chairperson.
Well, it won't take long. Chairperson.
I understand the administrative part of. But the issue is not is the issues arising from the minutes, and members must be comfortable in the contribution. So that you can adopt resolutions, and the content of the entire report doesn't talk to the issue. So I'm careful because we have experience on how this report has been put together. So what I'll suggest. And now it's clear that the members have not gone through it, and other members are not in the meeting. I want to suggest that we, and Honorable Ross Wright is raising a point. I want to suggest that we defer this minute, and we get into look on them. Mr. Matunzi will facilitate the Mencon meeting, thresh out the issues that could have been contributed in the minutes, and in the next committee meeting, adopt all the seven minutes. But we must have time frame on when can be a Menco to gather all the contributions on the minutes and in alert members that these are 7 minutes that must be raised. I'm raising this point because two members, they raised the same point that they have not gone through this minutes by yesterday. So I don't want to pressure members on the issue that all of us must be at one in terms of the process. So that tomorrow, a question must not be asked in the committee meeting on a matter that has been adopted by the minister. Mr. Matons, I'm making sense to the proposal.
Yes, no, I do agree.
Okay. Member, Honorable Ross?
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm happy to defer the minutes and to give the inputs in writing.
Yes. Okay. Honorable Kocha?
Yes, Chairperson, thank you for your guidance. We will go through the minutes and these reports, and then we'll email our inputs before our meeting on Tuesday. So we're happy with that. Thank you.
Okay. Honorable Mulekwa? Honorable Pillay?
Supported, Chair.
Okay. Thanks, members. Mr. Matons, when can be the main come? What do you suggest we must deal with the times, turnaround time?
We can have the Menko on Thursday or tomorrow, whatever it suits members that are in the Menko.
Okay, let's solicit that consultation with those that must attend the Menko, then we'll deal with the matter, and then we'll interface on when we're going to process the minutes.
Okay.
Yes. No, thanks the Adams, the research team from Gwani, and Mr. Matunzi for preparing this oversight reports and the strategic plan reports, and to assist us to trace our work. And thanks the members for your valuable contributions and the process that you have laid on how we must manage this all the reports. Mr. Matunzi, the members are saying we must get the progress implementation work on the issues that have been raised in the strategic plan report, governance printing works, and the oversight. And that MENCO also that they will be dealing with will then decide turnaround time so that the department come back on the service delivery work that's supposed to implement. Is there any other matter, Mr. Matunzi?
No, there's no other matter, Chair.
Mr. Adam?
I'm covered, sir.
Okay. Thanks, members, for attending the meeting. The portfolio committee has adjourned.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Chair, Adam. Everybody.
Yes, I'm still here, Eddie.
And Mr. Fungwati.
Recording stopped.
Rizal from PMG, we're just going to have an administrative discussion for the committee. It's not really a part of the committee meeting, so you're welcome to leave, so you needn't take note of this.
Okay, let me do this. I'll just remove people that are... Okay, they are removing themselves. Muzi?
Hey, Eddie, how are you?
No,
I'll do something.
No, you can remain. Let me...